I'm Kneeling at Bat with Hallie Todd, and she is starring in The Last Champion. We have so much to unpack here, because not only are you starring in this movie, you also co-wrote it, your husband is the director, and your daughter is another writer and producer.
Right, right. It's a family affair for sure.
I love that. Tell me the dynamics of that. How does that all work?
It's a very intense, very creative, fun most of the time process. We just collaborate well together. I mean, we get into it like all families do. We have, you know, our own, you know, just the family stuff that every family has. Plus, we have this, you know, creative endeavor on top of it. So it gets especially intense, especially when we're getting close to a deadline or some milestone or something. But it's really just a lot of fun, and we laugh a lot, and we get excited, and, you know, get mad at each other and get over it, and, you know, we just, it's a lot of compromise and a lot of listening and just working together.
Now, if you can, whose voice comes through for what, especially when there's like three people in the mix? I mean, you have to sort of assign something to someone, you know what I mean?
Definitely, for sure, Ivy and I could not bring anything to the table with the wrestling and that whole thing, because that was Glenn had been a wrestler in high school, and he knew the sport, and so that was something he had to just take without, you know, us, you know, able to help him.
Yeah.
But as far as the character stuff, as far as the people stuff, it really was a mixture. We all were in there, you know? I mean, sometimes, I mean, I would take a scene, or one of them would take a scene, but then they'd bring it back, and we all kind of, you know, dismember it and put it back together again. So by the end of it, it really is all of us.
I mean this in like the best possible way, Hallie, but you play an amazing drunk. I was so floored by your performance, honestly.
Oh, thank you so much. How nice of you. Thank you.
So
it was fun to play.
Yeah. How did you get there? How did you find her?
Well, I have known some people, I guess, who have been self-involved that way and, you know, problematic and immature, you know, grown women and men. And so it was, she was maybe a compilation of different people I knew. And then I had made a decision that she was in her, you know, in her, where she had stopped developing, was maybe about 16 years old.
Mm.
And so she, you know, was, you know, coming to everything from kind of that place.
I've talked to so many actors who say they can't play drunk, like you cannot act like you're drunk, because then it doesn't work. So
yeah.
Can you share the secret with us?
Oh my gosh, I feel so special wanting to have you want a secret from me. I don't know if I have a secret answer, but I think just, you know, you're just trying to communicate, and you know, when you have a little bit of, you know, stuff in you, you get kind of relaxed and a little, you know, I don't.
I think I'm trying to ask you if you've had a couple of glasses of wine while you were actually shooting this.
Oh, no. I could not do, I, you know what, maybe I could do it that way, but I would be afraid to try. So, no, I have had the memories of having it that I guess I could draw on, and, you know, that physical feeling of having that going on with you, and your senses are all kind of, you know, dulled a little bit. And, no. It's from memory and from watching people. I would be too nervous to take a chance like that, especially when we were on such a tight schedule. I could have like gotten divorced over something like that.
What were you like to live with during this time? Did Glenn share with you that you might have been acting a little bit differently at home?
You know what? Here's the deal: is when we were up there, so when we wrote it, we started writing it in 2012. And It took us, you know, several drafts. I think Glenn said it was 17 drafts till we were finally feeling like we could shoot it. But then you're into raising the money, and then you're into pre-production and casting and, you know, location scouting and all of the stuff. And so I really was, even though she had been, I knew I was going to do the part, she was rolling around in my mind kind of subconsciously while I was doing all these other things. So when we got up there, my head was full of so much other stuff that it was almost like I didn't get to just sort of be her only and not do anything else. You know what I mean? As far as prepping, she was just sort of riding with me in the sidecar, and I was like, you know, being a producer as well. So that was, I think, the biggest challenge actually, was to make sure I carved out enough time up in Washington to just not worry about anything that I didn't absolutely have to worry about, so I could just have fun with her and let her go. But I think it was more the look with my hair that way that was the hardest thing for my family to deal with, because she just had this, you know, these roots coming in and this horrible hair, and you know, just I don't think I was behaving like that. I don't know, maybe here and there I was, but I kind of work on it a different way. I don't turn into that person for everybody I know and live it that way. My mom was an actress, I think you know that, and she never did that at home, and I kind of, you know, I guess have that standard of, you know, separating life and work, you know, as an example.
Now, I have to come clean and tell you what a huge crush I have on Cole Hauser.
I know.
Did you have a crush on him too?
I didn't know Cole before we started working with him. I hadn't followed his career, but it was really cool to see him make that character come to life. And Cole's just a sexy guy. He's a good-looking guy, and he's a really nice man. But just watching him turn John Wright into, you know, a real person was just really, that was exciting. And to see that growth and watch him make the transformation that the character does in the movie.
So many people know him from Yellowstone, but I'm going back to Dazed and Confused. I mean,
right?
Hello.
Yeah, and I've seen all these things since we started doing the movie, since we did the movie. I never knew his work before, and everybody else knew it, but I did not.
So
it was a cool discovery to get to discover him as an actor, and he's so phenomenal.
So was he always your first choice?
No, because we didn't know him. Somebody pitched him to us, and we were like, okay, if I have an agent that used to, a guy I used to be my agent, Barry McPherson, was Cole's agent, and he saw that I was doing this in the breakdown, and he goes, I'd like to take on the project for APA, and, you know, because, you know, he knew me, and I was thrilled because he's a fantastic guy, and he pitched Cole, and we were like, Cole? Oh, I don't know. Who's that? I mean, it's terrible because Cole has a career, a long career, but just we were not clued in. And when he walked through the door for a meeting with Glenn, I think it was about maybe a minute, and Glenn knew that's him. Mm-hmm. He just walked through the door.
So who were you thinking of for that role?
I don't want to say. And it was somebody who would have been wonderful, but I can't imagine anybody now except for Cole Hauser playing that part. Like, he was meant to play it. Because Cole, I don't want to say, because it was just sort of a, probably a long shot kind of thing as far as this person's profile. Do you know what I mean? We were just sort of, I don't want to say.
I gotcha.
Okay.
I hear ya.
I will say.
Yes.
That I think Cole was 100% better playing this part than that person ever would have been, now that I've seen it done the way he's done it.
Interesting.
The truth. Yeah, totally.
And
totally.
And did he have any experience wrestling? Do you know?
He had been an athlete in high school, but not wrestling. I think he'd been a football player.
Right, right.
I don't want to say that, I think.
But I imagine all the wrestling scenes were choreographed by your husband, Glenn, who was...
No, but he hired really qualified wrestling choreographers to do it. And we also had to train the guys for several weeks. Sean Scully, who plays my son.
He's wonderful, yeah.
He's wonderful, and he had never wrestled. So he had to do all of that starting from scratch. Or maybe he had done it for like a semester in eighth grade or something like that. Like he had no real experience. And but Casey Moss and Michael Madden had both wrestled, so they knew what they were doing. But we had Paul Bradley and Joel Shear came in and really choreographed all the wrestling sequences. And they were a phenomenal addition. And they brought us Dan Gable, you know, and so that was just incredible because Glenn had really competed seriously in high school wrestling, and Dan Gable was his idol, and because it was right around the time that he was, you know, an Olympian, and so to have him in the movie and to get his endorsement, because he had to read the script and he read it twice, you know, because he didn't want it to be anything that would promote wrestling in any kind of, you know, negative way. So we had to, he had to approve the script, and then he agreed to play himself in the movie. And he just got awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom.
Oh.
The day before we released.
Oh, that's what an amazing accomplishment that is.
Yeah, because he wasn't just a gold medalist. He's like the most winning NCAA coach of all time.
Wow. I don't know who is more inspirational than coaches and teachers and, you know, these people in your life that just inspire you so much.
That's true. I mean, I wasn't an athlete, so it's all with me. It's like, you know, acting teachers.
Yeah.
Other teachers, you know, academic teachers who just, you know, make you think differently and open up your mind.
Yeah, because
new things too.
That's what I loved so much about this film is that there is the backdrop of wrestling, but it is all about mentorship and encouragement and you know, having pride in oneself.
Right, right. I think that I love transformation stories, and I love how he starts without any just having spent 20 years, you know, talking to himself like a bag of dirt because of what he did, and being able to come to the other side of it as triumphantly as he does, and being able to turn around and really be of service to this kid and you know, let it go. He lets it go finally, and it just warms my heart when I think about it. I'm glad it's touching people.
And another actress who's in this who's kind of a revelation to me, and I was just introduced to her for Killing Eleanor, is Annika Marx.
Yeah.
Who plays...
Isn't she wonderful?
She's wonderful. And
yeah,
did you see Killing Eleanor? It's a great film.
No, I haven't seen it. She's going to give me a link, I think, to see it. And I haven't seen it yet, and I'm really looking forward to it because I was talking to her all through while she was putting it together, and I know it's something that's being very well received, and she's really proud of it, and I'm so proud of her. She's an amazing artist and person, Annika. I love this whole cast. I love Randall. I love Randall Battenkoff, Peter Onorati, Cole, of course, the boys. Taylor Dearden's the wonderful actress, plays my daughter. Alfred Rutherford, and I know Bob McCracken as the pastor, and Janine.
Oh, yeah, he was wonderful, yeah. Too. Did everybody sort of hang out together? I mean, were you remote in a place that was remote that you needed to sort of all be together?
Yes, and yes. Yeah, we were in a remote, we were kind of stationed in, you know, I mean, our... settled up in Pullman, Washington, but we were shooting way out in Garfield, Washington, which is about a population of 600, and I think it's under 650 people. So, and it's in the rolling hills, it's what they call the Palouse, that part of the country, which is just these rolling lentil fields, and it's really a interesting terrain, but it's remote and rural and, like, hard on the cell service and all that. So we all kind of formed our own little, you know, real Last Champion community up there. And everybody, you know, we were all up there for almost all together for the whole time. So it was really, really fun. I think everybody had a really good time.
Wonderful. So what's up next for you in these times of craziness?
Oh, of crazy, crazy, craziness. we have several things that we're looking at doing, but I think one of probably what would be the next thing would either be one of two things that take place in New Orleans.
Mm.
And they're very different pieces, and I'm not going to say what they are because I don't know which one it's going to be. I have a lot of things that that I'd like to sink my teeth into, also that are family oriented, but I haven't put them up yet, put them together yet.
Well, speaking of family, this is, you know, we're entering the holidays. So, do you have any famous family traditions that you like to do every year?
Oh, yeah, well, everybody's so split up now, so it's a very different Christmas, but I think we're just gonna, we haven't put our tree up, I think we'll put our tree up and just make good food and just hang out and watch movies and, put on music and just be together. Hopefully next Christmas will be maybe a little bit more celebratory and more people, and I just like it to have a bigger gathering if possible, but that's okay.
Thank you so much for joining me. Happy holidays and stay safe.
Happy holidays. Thank you. You too. You too. And have wonderful holidays this season.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Stay healthy.
Thank you too.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Bye, Robin.
Bye-bye.
Always news.
Always refreshing.
Always candid.
Always milling about.
Robin Milling delivers what celebrities are saying to you.